I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Fox Footy launch edition of the Junk Time AFL podcast. Michael Chamberlain speaking. Adam Rosenbach is right here.
Yeah, we're coming to you from Arbury afloat down beside the Flinders Street station on the Yarra. Couldn't be more fucking Melbourne if you tried. Like, yep. We'd have to be in the middle of the MCG to get slightly more Melbourne. And we have had a cracking morning. There was a big launch for the Fox Footy season, and we have spoken to some of the greats of football. And
we have. Like, off the top of my head, we have Jordan Lewis. We got, as I'm watching Geordie walk off with Dermot Brereton.
Yep.
We had Joe Mantegna, Ben Dixon, Brad Johnson, the Smiling Assassin. Yep. We had Damara Ewahagan.
Yep. Eddie Betts.
Bloody hell, mate. It's been a morning.
It's an absolute roll call. So hopefully you enjoy that. Junk Times is coming up for you very shortly. But before we get to that, we both have comedy festival shows that we want to give a plug to.
They're amazing comedy festival shows. You can get tickets at Try Booking or head through the Comedy Festival website, comedyfestival.com.au. I'm going to do four shows at the Coop is in at 4 p.m. on Saturdays from April 1. And Michael Chamberlain's completely incomplete history of Australian rules. I'm actually having a lot of fun doing this show. We're working on it, so it's finding a lot of little weird, little odd stories.
Well, maybe once the festival show is done, you can sort of filter that through the show during the year.
I'll give you the super facts, okay? Like, I do the show, okay? I won't be giving away my little stories on the podcast. Do the show, and then post the show on the podcast. I can reveal all the stories. Like, that for a long time, Carlton's been really shit.
Well, that's why you got to get there, Junk Time. It's revelations like that. I am doing a show called High Functioning Idiot from the 11th of April at Cooper's Inn as well on Exhibition Street at 8:10 p.m. Love to see you there. Of course, if you're a Junk Time listener, you can hit with a little bit of a discount code, LOWDOG, all one word, all lowercase.
And that's through the Try Booking website.
Yes.
So enough of our yapping, Adam. Let's get on to our guest, the Fox Footy media launch for the season of 2023.
We're down here with Damara Ewahagan, Western Bulldogs superstar. Now, Damara, you've gone tall in the forward line this year. A lot of players being brought to the club who are very tall. Do you go to Bevan and just go, mate, fuck off. Can you just, this is my zone. I want to fucking
clear it out.
Yeah, clear it out.
Well, when I'm a big dog, hopefully I will be able to say that to him. But at the moment, I'm happy with it because it makes it easier for me.
How far away before you consider yourself a big dog, mate? Come on. You're there. People comparing you.
You won a game single-handedly last year, kicking a goal from the boundary.
Yeah. Well, hopefully soon. But Aaron Norton's, let him have his time to shine for a bit.
I actually never realised how tall you actually are. How tall are you in the old school?
6'4", 197 centimetres, I reckon.
Dude, I had no idea. I mean, you might feel the same. Like, you know, you kind of see the little players and you go, oh, they're 6'1".
Yeah. I get that a lot. Like, everyone thinks I'm smaller on TV, but when I come in from, like, face to face, I'm a lot taller.
And what do you make of, like, Aaron Norton's headband? Do you, as a teammate, did you just look at it and go, come on, mate, you need an update? Does it need some colour in it? It's just bland. Cost him, what, $2?
I have no idea. He flicks it out to the crowd most of the times, but I think...
And they throw it back.
Yeah, well... I did find it a bit funny when Sicily pulled it off his head, but then I was like, oh, I'm not a fan of that. But I reckon it suits him, matches him, and it's his own thing. So,
well, I'm looking at your locks. You're probably not too far away from a man bun.
I actually did start doing a headband.
Yep.
Never did doing you? A man bun, though, because the boys would get into me about that.
I remember Dipper talking about people with man buns, and he wished he was playing today just so he could just grab it and rip it off.
Nah, so I've chucked the headband on. Not like Naughty's one, just a little skinny one that you can hardly see.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not a man bun. Definitely not.
And so what are your ambitions for this year now that you had 2 years in this system? You're highly touted number one pick. You know, is it just like play every game? Do you have finals ambitions?
Yeah, so my ambitions is to play every game. I want to play round one. I haven't played round one yet.
Yep.
So that's my main focus, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
What's it like being the number one pick? Do you just walk around Footscray just like a rock star? Just going, yeah, that's right.
So
that's me.
You can walk around like a rock star in your first year. That's definitely what I did. But, you learn from it, and then at the end of the day, it's just pressure, and then you just learn from that and just get better and better.
And how far out from the draft did you know you were going to be number one?
Well, the night before the draft, I got told that I was going to go number one pick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was it. But I was hoping, I was kind of wanted, because of me competitiveness, I wanted to go number one. And if I went number two, I probably would have been pretty shattered or pissed off. But, oh well.
And so what was it like playing in the VFL as the number one pick? Like, they wanted you to, you know, get your craft up and work it out, and you're just there going, fuck off, I'm number one here.
Yeah, I walked into the AFL straight away, and I was like, fuck yeah, number one pick. And then I'm like, all right, sweet, I'm going to play round one.
Absolutely.
And, like, everything's going my way, but then you don't realise how far you are behind. Sure. Like, I'm playing against men that are 30 that have been in the system for 10
15 pre-seasons and they've locked up.
They've got pubes.
Yeah, but exactly. And I'm rocking up as an 18.
They can drive.
Just out of COVID, haven't played a game in a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it sorted it out. It was good.
Now, how much time did you spend unlearning what Brendan Favola told you?
Unlearning?
Yeah.
Nah, he did look after me heaps. With like kicking and just what to do. And then he told me what he used to do. And I was like, I don't think I can do that these days, mate. But he was great to me.
Yeah, fantastic.
Because I think he's famous for kicking, was it 12 goals in that Millennium game back in 1999?
Yes.
I'm going to imagine you weren't even born then, 1999.
Nah, but he would have told you about it.
Yeah, he used to tell me a lot of things. He told me, he'd say like, oh, no, I'm not training today. Like, I'm not running, I'm not doing that. My hammy's sore.
How do you reckon that would go if you said to Bevo, I just can't be bothered?
Oh, if it's rated, I'm probably, I'd never say that. There's no way. I'd be kicked off the team for like probably the year. He put me in the twos.
I did a bit of rudimentary research on you before I came. I've got two questions, two-part question. Mm. I always feel bad for hyphenated name people by the fact, do you ever think about how many hours of your life you've wasted filling out three names on a form?
Yeah, true. I don't know.
And often there are not enough boxes for you to fill out your whole
name.
It's
so funny because I see it as a normal name. Like, yeah, Google hyphenated Hagen and then... And then when I look at other people's names, it's just like, it is a long name.
Yeah.
And it's Jamara Ugle-Hagen.
And have you got, like, middle names?
I've got Joseph as my middle name.
Yeah, okay. We're asking the hard questions here. Yeah, so
if I'm writing down that, it does take forever. I hate logging into like school visits and stuff where I have to write my whole name. And there's you've got like a, I don't know, like a Josh or like a
Tom, like a or Dave Smith.
Josh Bruce, he's got two first names.
I know, Josh Bruce, Joshua Bruce, yeah, true.
We've just got a helicopter flying over. There's a civil war over at the Western Bulldogs. They're heading over there. Our final question, though. I did my research. Turns out you're a little Scotch college boy.
Yeah, I did go to Scotch.
You're a Scotch college boy. A little Scotchy. Did you do cadets? Did you like doing cadets?
No, did not want to do that. They were going to try and get me in there, but I'm like, Mum and Dad were like, yeah, probably not the best thing. So I was like, I did first aid.
Scotch college, what's your property portfolio like? You follow
I'm
the
lawn
stock
balls
market.
Captain. I got lawn balls captain.
Congratulations. You can see why you went number one.
Less training and then just relax, right? But no, we took the piss out of that.
There's some fair alumni, though. Cyril Rioli, he's a famous Scotch graduate. Yep. Hey, Jamara, thank you so much for joining us. Very kind of you. And have a great year this year.
No, thank you.
We are here with Adelaide and Carlton superstar Eddie Betts. Eddie, thank you so much for joining us. Now, can I just say, you've spent 1 year as an assistant coach at Geelong. They won the flag.
Oh, yeah.
How much was that about you?
Oh, everything. The whole lot. 99.9%,
yep.
I think. Geelong, you know, they were in the running for winning a premiership for the last, I don't know.
20 years?
No, not 20, because they've won it, like,
true.
Recently. And so... They just needed that extra push, and I felt like I gave that. No,
you were the cream on top.
But it was good. Like, being down there, it was a great experience. I know hearing about Geelong's culture and what they do and how they live and breathe it down at the Geelong Football Club, and going down there and experiencing that firsthand was unbelievable.
What was the difference that you noticed from, say, Carlton coming back the second time to going down to Geelong and just seeing the culture? What do they do differently?
The leadership, and that was led by Joel Salwood, so that's probably why I think that might be a bigger out this year, but yep. I think they got players that could fill that gap with leadership roles with Joel. But that was set down from Tom Harley to Cameron Ling all the way down to Joel. Now Joel's didn't really need to, like, you got Danger's a great leader, and Danger leads differently, and Danger will galvanise the group and bring the group together. I'm sure they'll be on the right track as well, but the leaders below that are coming through, these young kids, are really shining.
And you've got that core group that's been there for a long time now, like Hawkins, like Selwood, and Danger was obviously a huge leader at Adelaide before he came to Geelong. Like, they're proper role models leaders in the community.
And the thing is, like, when you speak about the leadership down at Geelong, is that, you know, I heard a story once, and I've seen it down at Geelong. I heard a story once where a first year player at Sydney Swans told off Adam Goods when they were playing in a game. Goodsy Saw it. How do I say it? Initiated it, not initiated. Bloody acknowledged it.
Yep.
And said, okay, my mistake. I'll move on. I'll be better. Took it on board from a first year player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been at clubs where if that did
happen, right,
it'll be the vice versa. They'll bite back. The older senior players, where down at Geelong, the younger players are really using their voice, pushing the leaders, demanding. You know, they lead the way. And the leaders are really valuing that. They're not biting back. They're really, it's all trust. Everyone believes in everybody down there. And it shows, like, even before games, they're not hyped up. They're not jumping around the rooms. They're not really needing to go over top to hype themselves up. They know individually, looking at their teammates, that they're going out there to play for each other. They're going to get their job done.
Yeah. And what was your role there? It was like a development role, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was more so just helping out any way I can, to be honest. Like, with the midfield, forwards, backs, and just, helping out the younger kids.
So just showing kind of standing, you know, outside the boundary, kicking the ball on your wrong foot over your head through the goal. It's just going,
I did that. I taught them that. I said, it's all about trying to teach you how to kick goals. Yes, Jess almost got it. Tice, you know, kicked a few. So
how many goals of the year did you win?
True story. True story. I won 4.
Yeah.
I come 5 second times.
Yeah.
So I should have won it 9 times.
Okay.
And my goal should have won. The goals that they chose, it's like Jeremy Howell sitting at the Brownlow, and they give it to Joe, Jumping Joe from Essendon.
Oh, for the mark of the year.
For mark of the year. Yeah. That mark should have went to Jeremy Howell, mark of the year.
And
that's how robbed I was.
So then on top of that.
Because you let it go, though.
Yeah, I let it go. I actually told Gil. I said, listen, Gil, I should have won 5. I've been ripped off.
Yeah.
That's okay. I got 4, but I think it's about time now that I've finished the game. Should change the name.
Retrospective. They gave retrospective Brownlows.
I think change the name. Yep.
Oh, the Eddie Betts.
Yep.
That's
said to Gil.
Fucking great idea.
Phil Noss. I forgot his name, but his name's on it.
Yep.
And you know he's a great player. Played for Collingwood. Won 1 goal a year.
Phil Manassa. He big fucking kicked 1 goal. He took like 6 bounces.
Phil
Yours Manasca were much
has
better.
A goal, 1 goal a year. So the medal's named after him. So
it is time for change.
I don't know. Times are moving.
That's right. That's
can I ask, what did you win? Was it the same thing each time?
No. The first year I won a car.
Yep.
But the year before that, Daniel Wells won the car.
Yep.
And it was from that fly kick against Fremantle over there. Pulled it out of midair, kicked the goal.
Yep.
Got given a car, won it. That's his to keep. Daniel sold it. So they knew that players, when they got the car, were selling it. But they had to pay tax on it anyway. So the year that I won it, they said, no, we're only giving the car for a year.
Oh.
So I got ripped off. So I got $10,000, but that went to my local club.
Yep.
So it left me with nothing.
No, that's like back watching game shows.
So
kid game
left
shows
me with nothing. But then later on, the last 3 goal of the years after that I won, I got $10,000, and $10,000 went to your local club.
Yep.
So, which was good. It gives back to the local football club.
But I guess the good thing is, knowing that you had an end date for the car, you could thrash the absolute fuck out of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that I did that, but I did. But
just doing doughies in a KFC car park somewhere.
Yeah, so drive responsibly though, but it was all...
We'll wrap it up shortly, but you've done yourself a mischief on your left hand there. You've got a bit of a...
bandaging on your left hand, a couple of splints.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
I had surgery. My fingers were pretty bunged up from footy.
Yep.
And... you know, during the season, I couldn't really get it done because you can't fly anywhere. You can't really train. You can't think. So it's like a two-month recovery kind of.
And what did you have done?
I had a reco on my finger. I already had a reco on my middle finger.
Yeah.
But I had reco again on that middle finger.
When will we be able to bird again?
I was going
to
say.
Still bird, but it goes the other way.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Does bends out to the left.
Did you injure it by like birding umpires or something? Or?
Yeah, no. It was just, I don't know, the ball hit it. And the other one was... bent out this way, so just get it all fixed. AFLPA, you know, we're glad enough to fix it up for you.
Oh, that's cool.
Great. So
yeah, great.
I was trying to look what else I can get done. Just so.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ed. Yeah, could you go and be? I just want a bit off the nose.
Yeah, a bit of a tincture.
It was a footy injury. Like, trust me, it was a footy injury.
A butt lift. Thank you. And Adam is a rabid Carlton fan, so yes. I just
as Eddie knows,
I can't believe he's not sitting in your lap right now. So we'll wrap up.
The thing is, though, Adam.
Yeah.
Is it the year? Because as Carlton fans,
mate,
we say it, and how many times you could say,
oh, no.
This year is the year. Last year was the year.
That was heartbreaking, wasn't it?
It was heartbreaking. So,
oh, God. Mate, I would love it to be the year. If you think it can be the year, then I'm on board.
But the injury of Welsh and Zachy Williams, that
doesn't
really help.
So, doesn't help.
We'll see.
Yeah, mate, I've been there since the start.
We can't say the F words just yet.
No, no, no.
The final words.
No, fuck, don't say it.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't live and breathe that.
No, yet. No, no, no.
Mate, thanks for your time, Ed. Appreciate it.
All good.
Thanks, Ed.
Thank you.
Well, Adam, you can see I'm twitching right now by the fact we have... The one and only Jordan Lewis right here. Hawthorn legend, four-time premiership player. Have you got a favourite premiership?
Oh, you really want me to go through them all?
Yeah, bit by bit.
No, we don't.
An hour on each.
I'll give you a little snippet on each. 2008, because of Shane Crawford.
Yep.
2013, okay. Because we lost the year before.
Yep.
2014, because we played Buddy in the grand final. He defected and went to Sydney, and we played them and beat them. And 2015, I had my firstborn son there.
So that's right. You carried him up onto the podium. He's about a week old, right?
He was a week old, and they wanted to come to the game, so we got that ticked off. And then my wife brought him down to the boundary line, and she said, "Do you want to take him out into the field?" So it was all a little bit rushed, and I got swept up in the emotion. But it's nice to look back at those photos. I've got a favourite child.
Did you let him drink out of the cup?
He was in the cup, and we poured beer into the cup, and we sort of we drank around him, if that's allowed.
And I was fascinated by the tradition, because it became a tradition, Adam, because we won three in a row. Mm. The tradition of heading back to Ruffy's place.
Yes.
So did that happen for the second and third, or was it for the all three?
It actually happened 2008, and then for the three. So
Did rules start to come in after the first one? He's just like, geez, you went fucking hard last year, boys. You know, my wife, we're going to clean up the joint. It was
funny, and to the point where by the last time, there was a helicopter that was hovering above his house, because everyone knew where we were. But it was tradition. But what we loved to do was to get the Herald Sun and read the comments, mainly of the team that lost and how scathing they were and hilarious. But it was, they were the times you look back on with fond memories.
Because there were a couple of photos of those, weren't there? Did you get like a journo out and say, photos now, so like, you know, 10 in the morning, and then fuck off?
Ruffy lives in this most ridiculous street. It's like this dead-end street that no one would even know that there's a house up the end of it.
Yeah, you know?
Okay. So no journos ever came, which was great.
Because then Crawford usually do a cross for the Sunday
Footy Show.
So Crawford
would do it, and you'd see Ben Stratton hanging out the window. Yeah. You'd see
guys riding bags.
I think it was Hilly riding a bike in the backyard. So it's fair to say we hadn't slept.
Yeah, sure.
So we weren't making the greatest decisions.
So then you head off to Glenferrie to be presented to the fans. I don't want to use the word hassle, but if you're kind of hungover, you haven't eaten, is it a bit
especially
annoying?
Especially your fourth one. Like your third one, you're like, yeah, this is fucking great.
We used to love doing it. It was exactly where we wanted to be. it's, you know what? Winning a grand final isn't what it's all cracked up to be, because of the aftermath.
All right, mate. The aftermath, you
get pulled in every different direction.
Yeah, sure.
So it's not until... Mate, so this is the one thing that was... So after 2008, I think it was... because we had this deal with Tasmania, we'd fly down on the Monday morning to Tasmania and spend the day down there with the fans.
Oh, God, yep. You don't want
to
do that.
After year one, we scrapped that. It just wasn't where we wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Grant Birchall's spewing up on a helicopter.
Yeah, sure. And it always seemed to be focused on Birch as well. It's like, Grant Birchall's grandma, came down. give her grandson a kiss. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's what they do then. There's not much that happens.
But also the great thing about winning four is that you kind of practice, you kind of work out how to party properly.
What you want to do and what you don't want to do.
Yeah, and so the first one, you're kind of going a bit wild. No, listen up, Adam.
Yeah.
The first
is this the Hawthorn podcast? We're trying to go.
And then by the second one, you go, okay, we did that. We got too late. And then third one, okay, we refined that. And then the fourth one, you'd be like, smooth sailing. You've worked it out.
No. We just, every year, we just treated it like it was our first.
And then how do you think the Hawks will be going this year?
Let's talk about Hawthorn this year. Yeah. I'm happy to talk about it.
No, they're in a different phase this year. We'll just get draft picks at the end of the year, so we'll just top up with draft picks and then we go again.
It seems to me that Sam Mitchell now has kind of got his own list. He has the list that he wants. He kind of cleared out a few people, and
this is for off-air,
mate. I'm starting like with my people.
Well, they had to. I mean, the worst thing a side can do is hover around 10 to 12. Mm-hmm. So you need to bottom out. And
I'm a Carlton supporter, mate. We're happy with 10 to 12.
So you're about ninth every year.
Yeah. They celebrate 12th.
Yeah, you're the new Richmond.
They get presented to the crowd when they finish 12th.
Now, when you went to Melbourne, did you think, fuck, I reckon I could be in a flag here as well? Like, you were really close.
Yeah, that was really my thinking, to go there. And I remember we played them halfway through 2016 and they smacked us, and they were really physical. And that, for me, was a bit of a light bulb moment that maybe if I am to move on, I want to go somewhere where I can try and win another one and have bragging rights. But that certainly didn't happen. I was a year out. So I retired or got sacked, whatever way you want to look at it. And then they go on and win. But Isaac Smith's done it now. So any player that comes towards the end of their career is still hungry for success, wherever
reckon,
it may be.
Do you reckon Jack Gunson will go okay at the Lions this year?
I think he will. I think he already knows a lot of the players up there, having close relationships with Hodgie and Grant Birchall going up there. So he's enjoyed that. And, I mean, he's exactly what they need. They've got tall timber down there, but they haven't got that hybrid forward.
Yep.
And that finals big game player. So he's been a handy acquisition for them.
Now, last year you did the review. You were part of the review of Essendon Footy Club. What was it like going in and doing a hatchet job on a hated opponent?
Do you know what? People ask me that. And I never hated Essendon because we didn't necessarily have the rival that they had in the 80s with Hawthorn and Essendon.
But you were there when Sully got...
Yeah. So that was...
You were not there for the line in the sand. You got picked
up.
No,
that was the year before. The Sully one, they knocked us out of the finals. So that was that was a moment. But it's funny. I think players and even staff members these days move around so much. There's probably not that loyalty as there was in the past. Mm. But it was an interesting process.
Yeah, how was it doing the review?
It opened my eyes up to... a footy club and how it's run and the decisions that they make and the enormity of the coaching position, which gave me a good insight to that. But yeah, they're big operations now. It's not just go out and play on a Saturday. It's big.
Were you on the panel to get the coach as well?
Yeah, I did that as well. So that was an interesting process once
again.
Like
the presentation, seeing those, were you just like, they put a lot of effort into this.
Yeah, it was awesome. And it's, and it's a 4-hour presentation, so it's a long time. And a lot of the stuff is quite similar. Like, if you watch the game, it's not a...
Yeah.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out what sides are doing. But it's it was interesting. We had five candidates, and Brad Scott came out on top.
Is that a thing you have in the back of your head, maybe getting into the coaching game at some stage?
No, you sort of see how crazy they go and how much time it takes and the stress they're under.
And how they age so quickly.
And which I don't need that. but... I mean, I've always been passionate about footy and coaching, but for me, the right balance is commentary. I mean, you're still involved in the game. You still get to, be in and around the clubs.
You get to do awesome podcasts with really cool guys.
Yeah, but you don't have to take the win-loss home.
Yeah,
you get out of the game, which is also nice.
Oh, well, thanks, George. It's very kind of you to join us.
Pleasure.
And hear your premiership success, Adam.
Yes. I've heard the rumours before. It's like, so. How do you reckon the Blues will go this year?
I've tipped top four, so I reckon.
You?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
I think hearing that.
Yeah. That'll be all right. My pleasure.
Mate. We're here with Western Bulldogs superstar Hall of Famer Brad Johnson. Now, Brad, we're here at the Fox Footy launch. You had to get into a pool. What were the more ridiculous publicity things you had to do across your storied career at the Western Bulldogs?
I was in a bath full of jelly babies for juvenile diabetes at one point. But it was a great course.
It was. We'll take
of course,
that.
And Sue Alberti does a magnificent job with that. And so that was, I remember being in Crown Casino in a bath full of jelly babies and, eating them while filming. Other than, I think at one stage, I don't know why, I was fishing under the Westgate Bridge for a photo shoot at one point. Okay. Fishing, I don't know what I was catching.
Fishing out of body?
So that was one of those strange ones. And then, look, today was fun. It was good to get in there.
Because it's kind of like the Herald Sun articles kind of thing, and it's like, kicking a ball into
I think it's either standing in a race at the old Witten Oval, or would do something completely random.
Or if you're a rookie... They put you up a tree or something fucking ridiculous. Like, you don't know you can say no at the start. You're like, I'll get in the tree. And then your mates fucking bring it up with you. I think Jack Siebel might be in a bath in one of his early photos.
I remember one Jono did was, it was about driving safely, and they had a picture of Sid's casket.
You've gone too far.
Now, we are fascinated by the Hall of Fame and the like. You know, in the NFL, they do the door knock and all that kind of stuff to kind of announce that they've been selected. What's the process to get picked into the Hall of Fame here? Is it a call from Gil? Does, the Pope call you up to tell you're in?
I've received a letter in the mail.
Yep.
I remember getting the letter in the mail.
Did you know it was coming?
No.
Okay.
No. So that was a was a full surprise.
So you get a letter with those. Got
full
AFL
letter, AFL.
On
there.
Yep.
Bit of a spiel.
Yeah.
And then after I received the letter,
can you
I
say
remember,
no?
Well, I suppose you can. I'm not interested.
Yeah, yeah. What does it give me?
Yeah, no. And then David Parkin was, I think, part of the selection committee. He was
okay.
working at Fox
yep.
at
yep.
the time, and we're working together. And he had a chat to me afterwards, which was pretty special
yeah,
as well.
Nice.
Hearing
yep.
it from the great David Parkin.
And what do you get out of it? Do you get any perks? Can you go to any game you want now? Do they fly you around?
Yeah, I can. I don't get flown around.
Okay,
no.
That's a shame.
It's not as if I can book in West Coast v Frio in the Derby and they'll fly me over.
Mate, you're a Hall of Famer. You deserve
to
it.
Do it.
Yeah, you can roll out the red carpet.
No,
yeah.
no. There's access to... there's access to a couple of tickets
okay.
as
so
well.
For
every
more,
game?
It's for every game, but it's more around the grand final as well, which is the big one. That celebration that week and being able to be involved on grand final day.
So they give you a couple of grand final tickets that you can then scalp.
Yeah.
He hasn't said no.
Yeah.
No, said no, so
definitely no. That's one thing that...
I saw you at the front of the ground today last week.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't. No, it's one where there's myself, Rowan Smith, Glenn Jakovich from West Coast.
Okay.
We get together on grand final day
yep.
Every year. It's catching up with Jacko. Schmitty and I see each other a bit, but it's more catching up with the big fella from the West.
Now, you're a Hall of Famer. Now, I grew up around that area, like Moonee Ponds, Askervale area, and I used to see Rowan Smith quite a bit at the Cactus Club, and I can't remember seeing you there. Did you go to Cactus?
Yeah. Cactus
you would have got a, you would have been a Hall of Famer Cactus.
No, I wasn't Hall of Famer, but I was a Cactus Tunnel double.
That okay,
was,
yeah, absolutely.
That was back in the day.
Yeah.
What were some of your haunts?
Well, you know, there was a Cactus and Tunnel. That was well, I grew up in Hoppers Crossing, so Blazers was the was the go-to in the early stages.
Yeah, because you want to go to a nightclub named after a fire.
Exactly. Then it turned to Vault. We Cactus, you know, got the drink card at Cactus.
Of course
you did. Tunnel.
Yeah.
Yep.
But every time I went to the tunnel, I'd try to get my drink card. My brother had already got it before I was there. So, but. It was that was the standard every Saturday.
Maybe Jimmy Rose on a Sunday down Mount Alexander Road.
Yeah, I found it hard to double up. So
okay,
I was more look after myself on the Sunday, but the Saturday always, and that was just the way it was. You know, 94 to about 97, it was every Saturday night.
And then also, you're a six-time Australian. Now, do you have the jacket era, like, or were you just before that as well?
We were the sort of glass ashtray sort of era.
Glass ashtray.
Well, it was just a trophy, but
they give you a golden vape now.
So that was our era. I don't mind the jacket. I think the jacket. Looks,
I think it's kind of cool.
Looks looks pretty cool.
I mean, people like Gary Ablett Jr. have one for like every day of the week.
Well, maybe he gets the one, and they just start putting like a pilot. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you
get the badges across it.
You get the badges.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's a bad idea.
Rather than a new one every
yep.
Every time.
Were you in the room when Terry Wallace said he'd spew up? Or was that before your time? You were?
No, I was there. That was.
Did you have the feeling at that moment that you were standing in front of greatness, in front of history?
That was a big year because the Year of the Dog video in 96 or movie in
the Dog,
in 96 was turned out to be big because, you know, 96 was a tough year for the club. We struggled. We finished 15th.
Yep.
There's only 16 teams. And
had a change of coach, if I remember correctly.
We could only beat Fitzroy. So we changed Alan Joyce to Terry Wallace. We had Sean Baxter, who was dealing with cancer that year, one of our players. And then, you know, obviously the disaster of the year and Terry Wallace taking over. But then the shift that he made, if we had done the double up with that doco and they'd done 2 years in a row, we went from being no good to losing a prelim by a point in 97. So that shift of Terry Wallace would have been an even better story, I think, of how quickly you can turn it around.
What I love in that bit is where Terry Wallace is absolutely apocalyptic with rage and he goes bananas and says, I'll spew up. And then he just turns and goes, all right, I'll see you back at the social club for a drink.
Oh, really?
That was the thing with Plough. He'd hit you between the eyes, but he'd be the first one to sort of grab you. Like my 21st, for example, you know, I played a disaster game. He said to me, you might as well have been at home setting up for your 21st. But then half an hour later, he grabs me and goes, it's 21st. Let's have a crack tonight, you know.
Oh, yeah. Really?
So, like, it'd hit you, but then he'd put the arm around. He understood the, you know, the
how
aspects around, you know, milestones in life more importantly than a win or a loss at times.
And then also he famously took you to that win against Essendon in 2000. Where you played quite a bit of a part in that game as well. You got knocked around, and then you got a bit aggro at the end of the game.
At the end as well. That's my most embarrassing thing that I've ever done.
Really?
And I got some pretty strong feedback after that, because that was one of the biggest moments in you know, the club's history and what we were able to achieve that night. And, you know, I made it about myself in running up to John Barnes and and being a bit silly with that. So, look, you know, I probably wasn't with it at that particular point. It's not my nature normally. So, but that's just the emotion of the game and what it can do. But it was a magical win.
Well, from what I can gather, my understanding is that you guys almost trained in secret that week.
We did. We trained down at Werribee Footy Club.
Yep.
Throughout the week.
Kind of practicing that flood.
Mission Possible, I think it was called.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
So it was, and that was what Plough was very good at, you know what I mean? Building that belief that you can actually do things and change things quite quickly. And that was an amazing game, the mass flood. I remember Mark McCurry talking to us at quarter time going, what are you boys up to today?
Really?
Like, I still remember it.
Yeah, wow.
Joe Massidi was saying a similar thing. And the good thing about that, well, the best part about his coaching that night was for three quarters we did a mass flood.
Yep.
And then at three quarter time we're about 20 points down. He goes, nah, go and play. So we just opened up the game and, you know, Granny kicks the goal that he did. No one remembers the goal Rowan Smith kicked after the siren at all. And then the next week we tried the flood again against Hawthorn and got belted.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It didn't work out.
I will let you go, Jono. You got a lot of fun things to be had. But can you just give us a before you go, just give us a little I'll spew up.
No. If you blokes get a pat on the back, I'll spew up.
Love it. Jono, thanks for your time.
Thanks guys. Man.
We got the great Hawthorn legend Ben Dixon with us, Adam.
Oh, legend! I love when people say that, because people that really watch my career go, that is false advertising.
Mate, you're a sharpshooter.
No, I was. Pump me up, Colin. Give me some love.
Now, we have a bit of a connection, actually.
Yes.
It's a reunion about 20 years later. So, years ago, I was on a sketch show called Skid Ass. It's in the TV Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
And Adam wrote for the show as well. Yes. We appeared in a sketch together. Do you want to give the description, Adam? Can you remember?
So, the idea of the sketch was that... because every player comes out and doesn't really blame themselves and goes, you know, it was a team effort, but this particular player blamed it all on himself, and then was like, I didn't do a very good job, starts crying and everything, and then the reporter's like, no, mate, it wasn't your fault, so-and-so missed a goal in the third quarter, whatever, and then Dicko comes up at the very end and says, it's all your fault. To paraphrase, you fucked it for us, and then the player bursts into tears again.
I remember it because it took about 20 takes, and they had to keep pulling me up. I go, mate, you fucked this right up. They go, oh no, you can't swear.
Yeah,
okay,
it's Channel 10.
I said, it's like a seafood restaurant out there. This bloke's a crab. Like, Panicum, how did he even get drafted? So I was good at putting players down, don't
but
worry.
But I have a memory of you in the makeup chair because we had kind of footballers walking through a race.
Yes.
And so it had to look like you played after a game. And so they, with Dicko, you're in your regalian in your Hawthorn gear, and the makeup people were on their hands and knees just lightly dabbing dirt onto your muscles and stuff like that. And I remember the other players are kind of waiting, they're going, oh, do we get thing? And they're like, nah, just go and roll around the ground a bit.
Yeah.
Like pigs. But the beauty about the makeup is, you know, fresh Botox that time before a commercial. So they didn't have to do much to the top shelf. But
is that
I had the linguine arm, so they tried to get a bit of shape into it.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yep.
Now, were you quite good on the chirp out on the ground?
I was reasonable. I was reasonable. I actually did like a bit of banter on the field, and I can tell you one player that never ever in the history of the game gave me one thing back. Simon Presti Ducomo. Okay. I thought he was born a mute.
Really? Just didn't speak?
Whatever I gave him, it was like it was hitting a wall. So I actually nicknamed him Ricochet. I said, be good to see you today, Ricochet. Trying to think. Everything I tell him is just pinging off.
Yep, sure.
Like, ridiculous.
Did he respond to that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Do you remember any that were directed at you? Because I imagine you got a bit of, like, you would have got a bit of pretty boy kind of stuff.
Oh, I got a lot of that, I remember watching, I think it might have been Jason having a set shot, and I shaved my legs, and they said...
why did you do that?
Oh, because of massage and...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, I did it to look good, feel good.
Yeah.
And I was standing there, and they go, oh, who shaved your leg, Dixon, you pretty boy? I said, your mum, and she did me ball bag too.
And help.
Great.
And he's turned around, and he was gobsmacked. And I was like... All right, I've got this guy here. So then the crowd turned on him and go, ah, he's in here.
Do you think that, though, like that chirping does actually affect players? Or does it really, really affect some players and then other players?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of, yeah, okay.
Especially these days.
Yep.
They are fragile.
Yeah, sure.
They've got no thick skin.
Yeah, and you're giving it to him as a commentator.
Oh, yeah.
As a boundary
writer.
I'm not going to tell you the player because I don't want him to get embarrassed. But I ran into a guy out one night and I'm not joking, I got brushed. I said, g'day, so-and-so, totally brushed me.
Yeah.
And I've known this kid for, you know, since he was a junior. I went up and said, "What's up your ass?" And he goes, 4 years ago, you made this comment.
No way.
And I was like, "Mate, are you fair dinkum?"
He's hung on to it.
Hung on to this comment. And I'm going, honestly, I'm glad you brought this up now because we are now not friends. Because if that gets to you, mate, how did you even play footy?
Yeah.
Like, give me a spell. And what do you think I did at the end of the night when I'd had 1,000? I was into it.
Let him know about it.
I back up that comment and then some. We haven't spoken since. Good chat.
No, so, yeah, so you have no relationship with Max Gorn anymore.
No. Big corny.
Do you think about that, though, when you do have to make comments on players? Is there anything in the back of your head where you go, gee, I hope they don't hear this one?
Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah, nah. You just got to...
Good. You're good for your job.
Out of your mind.
Well, it's black and white. I mean, if you're not going to call it as you see it, then what are you doing?
What are you doing? Mm. Now, we had Geordie on before, and we asked him about the line in the sand game, which he just missed because he was drafted a year later. Yeah. Were you in that game?
Yes, I was. I was.
How was that? Did you get in there? Because that was fucking...
Yeah, I should have been suspended for 10 weeks, to be honest, because, you know... No, I shouldn't have. No, it was funny because Richie went nuts, as we all know. But
didn't he? What?
Were you
did
in
you
that?
Know but there's background to this.
Did you know he had it in him?
Yeah, of course I did.
Okay.
We had a fight at the Q bar about 3 weeks prior to that. Dead set. We're at the Q bar and some bloke chipped him.
There would have been a line in something else at the Q bar.
Yeah, it was the line on the dance floor.
Yep.
And
sure, thanks.
He's walking past and literally the bloke heckled him. He, without stride, dropped the drinks and went bang and it was on. And when the line in the sand and Schwabby said, "Righto, don't stand for it," I thought, well, there's one person I reckon might just not need a nudge in this one. And it was him. But there's background to it because you can either hit someone and be done or you can really go nuts. And he was renovating his house. It was going to take 6 weeks. So he thought, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it well. I'm going to suspend it for 6 weeks. To actually renovate his house, thanks to Essendon. It's great.
Now, we can't let you go without talking about the goal after the siren. Now, I remember you were on the beep test a few times on Fox Footy.
Yes.
I created that show because I'm very talented. But also, I remember you said something after the show that you kicked a goal after the siren maybe 3 or 4 times. Is that right?
No. It was my first after the siren, but my brother... who was playing for Yarrawonga, our hometown, was in a prelim final 4 weeks later. He marked it, same spot, same distance, and Mum and Dad were there because they were at my game in Carlton, and he kicked in the man on the mark.
Oh, no.
and it's scarred him for life.
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
The Yarrawonga Chronicle, Dixon chokes. And I always hang shit on him about that. But
good.
Truth be told, this is... When I kicked the goal after the siren and all that, didn't pay for a drink in Melbourne. And then I'm at a bar, and I kid you not, this 6'6", huge human comes up and goes, "Dixon, you owe me $30,000. I'm like,
I don't remember that
night.
What
the fuck's that for?
Yeah.
He said, "I lost 30 on that game." I said, "What are you drinking?" He goes, "Whiskey." I said, "How about I buy you around and your mates and we call it square?" He goes, "All right." So I bought him and I got the fuck out of there.
Hey, thanks, Benny. It's very kind of you. And maybe we can get a Skidash reunion going one day.
Mate, how good would it be?
We can head
back. I did a couple of those. I loved them.
You were great, mate.
Yeah. No.
It was a future for you.
I think that's why I've never done another one. I must have been real good.
Thanks for your time, Ben.
Thanks, man.
No worries.
Another special guest, Adam, St Kilda champion Joe Mantanga. Hey, we just talking before with Brad Johnson. They managed to get you in the pool here at this Fox Footy launch with your jackets on and you got the board shorts on. Was that a bit of a negotiation to... get everyone to agree?
Well, I'm sort of still relatively young here at Fox, so I just get to do it. I'm just doing what I told. I'm one of those guys that just am compliant. I was more curious to see how a few of the older guys went, you know, the Jason Dunstalls and those guys. I thought they might have pushed back a little bit harder, but everyone was on their best behaviour, which was surprising. I think, you know what, it's still pre-season and no one's grumpy yet. So
you're
to be grumpy throughout the footy season.
They haven't had to do red eyes to Perth or anything
yet. That's right.
Yep.
So we asked Jono what was the most ridiculous kind of publicity shot he had to do when he was playing football. Yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, I reckon there was one in water when I was thinking about it. I think it was... Dodgy is always the photographer of the Herald Sun who always made you do ridiculous photo shoots.
Yeah.
And same thing, when you're younger as a young player, you agree to it. And then as you get older, you realise you can say no and you're allowed to say no. So I think there was one, I can remember with a few of the St Kilda boys, something with a fountain where I reckon we got in the fountain with footies or something random.
And what was the headline going to be?
Oh, who knows? Young boys make a splash or something like
that.
Something cheesy like that.
Fountain of youth. Yeah.
Fountain of youth. Yeah. I like that.
Very good.
It was something like that. Was a long time ago, though.
Yeah. Now, Ross Lyon is obviously back down at the Saners. He's pulled back Lenny Hayes. He's taken back BJ. Nick Del Santo's back there. Are you a bit pissed if you're like, Ross, where's my fucking call, mate?
Well, I actually did get a phone call. Maybe it was me that said, yeah, I don't want to join this boys' club. Come on. Can't be part of the boys' club. I've just kept my distance a little bit. Yeah, now there was potentially an opportunity, but I'm enjoying my balance in my life. And to be fair, I don't know if you guys have heard, who wants to work under Ross Lyon? And they're silly. Like, these boys, I'm like, no. It was hard enough playing under him, let alone working under him.
He's the new Ross.
Oh, please, don't fall for that. The cuddly Ross.
No, he's great. I watched his Netflix special last night. He was hilarious.
Yeah. He won't be cuddly Ross by about round 8 or 10. You talk about some grumpy commentators. Wait for the coaches to get grumpy after a few losses.
What kind of role was it to be looked at? Like?
Oh, no, it's potentially I do a little bit of just some recruiting stuff, looking at some under-18s,
yep,
and a bit of list management sort of stuff. I do a little bit at Fremantle and St Kilda, just inquired about maybe doing some stuff for St Kilda, but at the moment I've still got a nice balance with the work and the media stuff, so I didn't want to upset the apple cart and do the extra hours at St Kilda.
How do you think it's going to work by the fact, you know, it's not common for a coach to come back to a team that they've previously left?
No, it is quite rare. Look, there's going to be some that disagree with it. There already are. I think there's going to be extra pressure on Ross Lyon, mm-hmm, but if there's one guy that's able to take some bullets and cop the hits, if it doesn't go their way, it'll be Ross. He's got the club's best interest at heart. He's a great coach, and he knows what it takes to sort of create a high performance environment. So that's what he's there for, and I think he's the right man. And it might take a little bit of time, but there aren't too many better options.
Now, we ask every St Kilda person who comes through the podcast, what is your favourite Ross Lyon story? Because we love Ross on this podcast.
Yeah, we do love Ross.
And the way they talk about him, like, we've had Cozzy on, we've had Nick Riewoldt on a couple of times. Yeah. They had a genuine love for him.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And because he would give us our sprays, but they weren't ever personal. I copped a beauty one day at the SCG playing against the Sydney Swans. I was getting tagged. Nick Del Santo and I were both playing in the midfield, and we weren't getting the job done. We were getting beaten at halftime, and Ross ripped into us, and he made Nick Del Santo and I go play in the back line, and he put a couple of the defenders on ball, and he said, if you blokes don't want to defend, you can go to the back line, and I'll put the defenders in the midfield, and they can go around chasing kicks. And the second half started, I was getting tagged, so I went to full back, and my opponent got an instruction to not move, just to stand in the goal square. So they were happy with
they
me.
They liked the mismatch?
And they were happy with me at full back.
Yeah.
So I stood in the goal square for the whole second half, and the ball, like, I didn't do anything. My opponent didn't get really much of the ball, but neither did I. Nick Del Santo, I think, had three goals kicked on him playing at halfback, and that was the last time we ever played in the back line. So he's given plenty of good sprays over the years, but that was the one for me where I was most frightened.
And how have you been enjoying the shift into the media?
Yeah, love it. Yeah, I mean, I was always a footy head. Even when I played, I watched a lot of the footy shows and watched most games. So to be able to get the opportunity to transition into it, for me, I love footy. I can't build anything. I don't want to sell anything. I'm not sure what else I would do if I wasn't involved in footy. So yeah, I'm very lucky.
Now, you commentate the men's, the women's. You do it all. How much footy do you watch to learn every player and just to be across it? How much footy do you watch?
No, I watch a lot of footy. Yeah, I watch a lot.
But you're not watching like all 9 games a year a week.
Yeah, I'll watch definitely 8. Yep. Yeah, and then the game that I don't see, I'll definitely watch the highlights. I mean, that's my job. So,
you love it.
And I love it. So, you know, it's an easy sell when my wife complains about watching footy again. I say, darling, I'm working. I'm working, darling.
But do you love it when it's North Melbourne, Gold Coast, out of Hobart? And it's
I must admit, there are some games I don't necessarily enjoy watching, but it is my job and I do watch it. Look, to be fair, there are times throughout the year where watching a game of footy can be hard, always trying to find something out of the game to talk about. Like, I would love to be able to watch a weekend of footy and just drink beers and, like, sit back and relax. Yeah. But unfortunately, I've sort of got to keep a bit of a closer eye and find some things to talk about. So it does sort of have some slight negatives, but particularly if I do have a bottle of red on a Friday and then have to watch the game again the next morning.
How difficult is it to keep interest in a game where it's a blowout at halftime? You're like, there's nothing in it for either team.
Yeah.
How hard is it as a commentator to just kind of keep your energy levels up?
Yeah, that can be a challenge. Yeah. That's why I like the balance of being a caller as well as special comments, because when you're a caller, you've got to stay engaged.
Yep.
And generally you have to, because the special comments guys have tuned out. So you sort of wait for someone to comment. No one says anything, you know they've tuned out. So I know it's part of the professionalism, and the longer you go, the some guys tune out a lot easier.
Because we actually just had Ben Dixon chatting to us about, he talked about a player that he commented on who, you know, held a grudge against him. Have you got the vibe that there are certain players that maybe you've said something about and they...
Funny you say that. I've already had over summer. I've had Nick Dacos. I've bumped into him twice, and he's come up to me twice, mm-hmm, because coming out of the draft, I made a comment that Jason Horne-Francis was head and shoulders the best player in the draft. And obviously Nick Dacos's first year was pretty handy. And he's let me know both times that he heard the comments and he was a bit dirty. So I had to apologise and say, I think I got that one wrong. There might not have been as big a gap between Horne Francis and you as I thought. So yeah, players do listen and they do remember.
And who do you think might take it out this year? Well, actually, we haven't actually talked football a great deal this year, today, Adam.
I think it's, in simple terms, I think there's 10 teams that can genuinely finish top four and contend. Brisbane are obviously the ones that are cherry ripe. Geelong, of course. Richmond will bounce. But I'm pretty confident Melbourne will be there this year. I think this is a bounce back year for Demons.
Because last year it was, after 10 rounds, it was how far Melbourne. Yeah. I think they were 10 and 10 and zip. Yeah. And then one fight in a French restaurant and all of a sudden things fall to shit.
That's right. That's what can happen. Lost both finals and didn't win a final. So I think they'll bounce back. Yep. I think that they'll have a little point to prove after the end of last year. And they'll be the biggest threat.
Adam's a massive Carlton fan. I'm a massive Hawthorne fan. Now, we all found it very funny around 23 when Carlton lost by a point to Collingwood and missed the finals. Found it very, very funny. Can you give Adam a bit of solace at where the Blues might end up?
I actually can, Adam. I'll tell you right now, I think that'll be the best thing that happened to Carlton because I think this year they'll be top four. I'm pretty bullish on the Blues. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a little bit of stat nerd in me. Nearly every year for the last 10 years, a team that misses the eight ends up jumping into the top four.
Okay.
So there will be one side from outside the finals that will finish top four. For me, that's Carlton. I think sometimes if you limp into finals, it can actually give you a bit of a false lead on where you're at.
Okay. So